Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Football Guys Power Grid, all presented by rotogrinders.com. We talk DFS, we talk week 13. I am Dan Bach, joined today by Devin Knotts. We got Phil Alexander and Ryan Hester pinch hitting for one tip and pick. And we're happy to have you today. If you're watching on the Football Guys YouTube stream, thank you so much for that. Leave a nice little comment and a thumbs up for us. And of course, if you're listening on a podcast feed, whether it's Roto Grinders or Football Guys, leave us a nice review. Certainly helps us. And fellas, last week we had double slates. Thankfully, that is in the past. Toughest week for us content creators, but I am happy to say week 13 is here and it's looking like a doozy because some injuries, but I have to say the pricing sites kind of did a pretty good job pricing up some of these running back backups, knowing that they were going to get playing time. So we're going to talk all about that and strategies to hopefully help you win some good money this week 13. All right, let's jump on into it, and we'll start with Devin this week on the Vegas side of things, and give us a quick lay of the land for this week 13, my man.
Yeah, so John's not here. He's doing whatever he's doing. So I'm going to try and cover Vegas. It feels like we've been off for like a month, even though it's been a week. That's how fast this world moves. But Tampa Bay and Atlanta is the game that's over 50, as well as Cincinnati and the Chargers. So those are the two games that really you want to target. Tampa Bay is projected to score about 31 points. The Rams also up there against the Jaguars, 13-point favorites in that one. Seems a little high. Jacksonville's defense has been playing pretty well. But the Rams are projected to score 30.5 points. And then Indy against Houston, they're projected to score 27.25. And Minnesota's projected to score 27. On the bottom end, teams that you might want to avoid, going back to that Jacksonville team. So it's only projected to score 17.5. Houston down at the bottom, and then the lowly Jets at 19.5 against Philly. So there's only two games above 50 this week. We've seen some games get up to 55. We don't have any of that this week, so could be a lower scoring week. We'll just have to see and talk through some of the plays here.
Yeah, and it's it feels like, I know injuries are always a thing, but man, Ryan, it feels worse than normal this year, and it's kind of been a lower scoring season comparative to what we've seen in years past. I don't know the reasoning for it necessarily, but that's one thing that I've kind of felt here the last couple of weeks, and we'll see if this, you know, kind of continues. Let's kind of get into the quarterback position, and we'll start with you. Give us some thoughts here on which QBs we should be looking at. We'll kind of start with our cash game thoughts first.
Sure. And here's how the folks will be able to tell that we don't necessarily script these shows all the way, as I was hoping to go last, if at all, on quarterbacks, because I was looking at putting a lineup together, and quarterback, you know, tends to be the last position you do want to put in there. And nobody jumped off the page this week, especially. But a couple guys that, you know, I came to after filling in running backs and receivers. So I do have a couple of those. And two of them are actually in the same game, and it's going to sound ugly, but it kind of goes to Devin's point of, we don't have any, you know, obvious spots this week. We don't have any, you know, high scoring teams outside of those ones that are huge favorites. And a lot of them are on the road even too, which makes some people a little skittish. But Derek Carr at 6,000 and his opposite Taylor Heineke at 5,600 in that same game are guys that I could see, you know, throwing for either 300 yards or multiple touchdowns at pretty modest pricing. And they'll allow you to do a lot of things in those more valuable running back and wide receiver positions. Another guy that I thought of, if you, you know, have a little bit of extra money, is Jalen Hurts, who has a rare opportunity to bounce back in the exact same stadium in which he failed us last week. At the Giants, he had a very poor game. But just 2 weeks ago, he rushed for 3 touchdowns, and we know that he brings that to the table too. So he's 7,000 on DraftKings at the Jets in a game where the Eagles are heavily favored against an opponent that doesn't know them as well, certainly as last week's opponent. So those are the three guys that stuck out to me, especially in cash games. And then I'd be interested to hear certainly.
Jalen Hurts stinks.
Sure, but he runs.
I mean, he's, you know, like the worst, best fantasy player that you can find, because he's not a good quarterback, but you know, the one time I played him last week, of course he doesn't get there. Like, I was like, sure. Yeah, of course he's going to do it. But then
it's he just hasn't gotten kind of, I mean, he's gotten there once in the last 6 weeks. So,
well, and I'm not the guy to pick Jalen Hurts either. He's very whack-a-mole for me. Every time I think let's do it, he doesn't. And every time I'm like, no, I'm done, is when he rushes for 3 touchdowns. So, it's tough. You don't have to love it, but I gave you 2 other ones, and I'm sure you guys have some other thoughts too. But, yeah, nothing jumped off the page at QB. You got Patrick Mahomes on bye. You have Josh Allen on Monday night. So there's really no, you know, super obvious studs out there, at least that I've seen, that I want to pay for.
All right, Devin, pick it up from there.
It's the air bear, Justin Herbert, this week. You know, he's rushing, which is crazy that he's rushed for 126 yards over the last 2 games. He had some midseason struggles, you know, a couple games where he threw for 225 yards or less, but that was against New England and Baltimore. The last 2 weeks, he's thrown for over 300 yards against Denver, at Denver and versus Pittsburgh. So this week, going up against the Cincinnati defense that we talked about it being one of the highest projected scoring games, I'm starting with Justin Herbert in cash and in figuring out the rest later. GPP-wise, I'm going Lamar Jackson against Pittsburgh. This Pittsburgh defense can't stop anybody on the ground right now. They're giving up – they give up like 200 yards to Detroit a couple weeks ago, and then who was it last week that ran all over them?
Cincinnati, Joe Mixon. Cincinnati.
Yeah, and then Austin Eckler had 4 touchdowns, 2 rushing. So I think Lamar Jackson could have a big rushing – he could top 100 yards rushing this week.
Phil, for tournaments, any interest in Carson Wentz this week?
Yes, actually, Carson Wentz is on my list. I think that we may have learned a lesson last week when we looked at Tom Brady as the second highest owned quarterback on the slate, on the main slate, that was. And then Leonard Fournette managed to score all of the touchdowns. By the way, I really wish my guy John Lee was here this week. Ryan, no offense to you, but him and I need to take a victory lap on Dan and Devin on Leonard Fournette, for Christ's sake. I mean, sorry, Joe. We four touchdowns, right? Leonard Fournette is a league winner. I wrote an article in the preseason. It was called Leonard Fournette's ADP is a Mistake. I want to print that on a t-shirt and wear it around. Leonard Fournette's awesome. I don't know what is wrong with fantasy football that Leonard Fournette doesn't get his due, but he's getting it now. Leonard Fournette's awesome.
This is the quarterback section. Please all right, save it for the running back section.
Fine. But my point is, touchdown variance is a thing. Jonathan Taylor is the chalk this week. Everyone's going to be on him. For tournaments, that means if it just so happens that the touchdown swing went his way against Houston, which they very well might, then something like Wentz-Pittman could get you a lot of leverage. But I want to back up because I was surprised that the cash game folks didn't mention Tom Brady. As I was looking at it, Brady is the chalk. Am I wrong there?
It's Brady or Herbert.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the thing about Brady this week is he's highly priced, but there's so much value at that wide receiver position that it's not that difficult to get up there. So I think you're right. I think people will play him mainly just because of roster construction this week. Like, there's not that jam in high end running back that we're used to having. So people will play him for sure.
And even if there is, you've got several running backs that we're going to talk about exactly. That are also low price. So, and people just love playing the opposition to Atlanta. That's one thing that I've noticed. You could pretty much just put a couple of extra percentage points on whoever the opponent for Atlanta is. And I'm actually fine with the play, even though it's going to be chalky, because I don't think that like 30 points is too far off a median projection for Brady in this spot. Atlanta is terrible. Truly, truly bad.
I'm looking at some of the early prop numbers. He's the only one over 300 yards that's been posted this week. He's at 304. And I got to take that back a little bit, what I said about no high-end running backs you want to jam in. Jonathan Taylor is somebody you're going to want to maybe jam in on your lineups today. But there is an incredible amount of value that we can go to. Any off-the-radar plays, Devin? That's kind of what you like to find for us.
Mike Glennon at 4K.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's a contrarian build, because I don't think people will feel like they want to go that low.
Yeah, I mean, Miami's run defense has been really good. Saquon Barkley's terrible. I think he had four. I've hated Saquon Barkley for a long time, for those that know. He had the most Saquon Barkley stat line ever last week, which was 40 rushing yards. 32 of it was on one carry, and then the rest, he had 12 carries for 8 total yards.
I thought this was the quarterback section.
It is, but I'm justifying Mike Glennon. So Mike Glennon at 4K, if he throws for 250 and 2, it helps you easily get to Jonathan Taylor. But you probably don't need to go down that low.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting, though, for tournaments. I mean, it's not like he's a scrub. There's no question about
it. Is he that much worse than Daniel Jones as a passer? Like, probably not.
Probably not. But he's, you know, that fork, when you get down to that 4K number, that is like the true floor. Like the 4.5s, the 4.7. But when you get that 4K, man, you literally can get whatever you want.
I started Zach Mettenberger in a live final once, so I'm not afraid to start horrible quarterbacks.
I mean, Tua was, I know it was off the main slate and it was a few weeks ago, but he was like 4,200 that London game. He came back, and I know people that played him in there, and it ended up being pretty sharp. So you can do a lot if you go low.
Tua is a lot better than Mike Glennon, but
Maybe Mike Glennon will finally target Kenny Galladay. I don't know. Maybe.
He can
maybe.
See him because he has a 6-foot long neck.
That's true.
All right.
You know, let's move on to that running back position. And, I mean, how good of a play is Jonathan Taylor this week, Ryan? I mean, it just feels like, you know, against Houston, how does he not smash, right? Like, it's just feels like it's 102.
I mean, that's kind of the dream, right? You've got a game, you know, against a really bad team, a running back in a positive game script. He touches the ball all the time. That's the guy you want. That's part of the reason why, you know, I recommended a $6,000 quarterback rather than a $7,300 quarterback, right? I mean, Taylor is your guy. The only, I guess, potential hesitation is that they are on the road. If you worry about things like that, and then, you know, Phil's point is good, is that if, especially in tournaments, if everybody's on him, then and Wentz throws for 3 touchdowns instead of Taylor running for 2, then you're kind of stymied a little bit. So, you know, Taylor is that guy. And again, you know, not to, I think, and this is going to harken back to when I was on this show regularly, but I think Phil also had a Jonathan Taylor position that he used to always be on that block too. So apparently it's Phil night tonight on the show between Leonard Fournette and Jonathan Taylor. But, you know, the other running backs I like, obviously we talked about the injuries, but what a weird week it is when you could play 4 running backs that are $6,000 or less on DraftKings and feel good about playing 3 of the 4 in the same lineup. And so, you know, and obviously those are Eli Mitchell, Antonio Gibson, Jamal Williams, and James Conner. So I have a thought on, you know, kind of which – 1 or 2 of those I like best. I'm curious to hear what Devin and Phil think, though, because I think my thought, you know, could be wrong, because it could very well just be a toss up. So I'm going to toss it back and give it to those guys and see what you think about our value running backs here. And then Alexander Mattison, too, who I think we should definitely mention him. But more sure. On that low tier is what I'm curious about, because there's a way to put 3 of those guys in and do a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the early ownership has got, you know, Williams at 19, Connor at 21, and Gibson, not quite as bullish, but he's still at 15, which isn't a bad number. So you're right. You know, they're definitely, you know, looking like they're going to be owned. What do you think on that front, Devin?
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. I think Madison's tough. It's sort of like this weird pricing where it's, what is he, 7,300? Where Joe...
Yeah, but
don't you just find the extra like $500 and go to Joe Mixon at this point?
I don't know. I don't think so, because let me ask you this. If Dalvin Cook was 7,300, would you play him?
Yeah, but is Alexander Mattison Dalvin Cook? I think there's
I think he is. I think he is when the Dalvin Cook is gone, from what we've seen this year.
He's burned people so many times.
He really has, like every time.
Like we think it because he has the long hair and like I don't know. I mean,
he's had good games. It's not like
he's averaging
He's averaging 3.6 yards a carry. Like, he's had two good games this year. I don't know.
I just want to jump in and say Detroit is a mitigating factor there as the opponent.
Yeah.
You know?
I think I trust Joe Mixon more.
In his two games where he had 20-plus carries, he had 27 and 23 fantasy points.
Yeah.
So I just can't get it's a no-brainer.
I just can't get some of the last year stuff out of my head. I think it's fine, but it prevents you from going to Jonathan Taylor, and that's the biggest issue.
Not when unless you're playing Mike Lennon, of course.
Exactly. Unless you go to Mike. If you go Mike Lennon, then you obviously could, but to me, I'm starting with Jonathan Taylor, figuring the rest out. It's going down to James Conner for sure going up against Chicago. Chicago, they're sort of overrated from a defense. People think they're better than what they are. West Coast team going to the cold weather. I think that should help Conner more than anything. With it being cold outside here in Chicago. And if I'm picking another running back in that area, I'm going – I don't love the player, but I'm going Jamal Williams.
That sounds gross to me. I mean, you're gross. Worried about he's so bad. I don't think he's a good player at all.
He had five catches last week, but you could also go David Montgomery at 56. I think that he's probably safer than Williams, to be honest. I don't know that I trust him all that much, but I don't know. I mean, that's the answer. It's hard because maybe the answer is Daryl Henderson at 61, but the Jags have been good too. So I
think we got to wait on that Henderson news. You know, I think he's a little banged up. We don't know for sure that he's going to play. If he does, I think he's going to garner a ton of ownership when you consider home favorite by two touchdowns. Yeah. Like those trends historically really, really favor the running backs in that situation. So, you know, we'll wait on that. But if he's good to go, that's a good price. If he's not good to go, is there a backup we would consider for Darrell Henderson?
Sony Michel, why not?
Isn't he out?
I don't think so.
I'm clearly not prepared.
It's still wide open.
Fine.
Too.
Yeah, he's fine. Sony Michel becomes the guy there.
Yeah, 4,300 at home as the only running back of note on the team. I think that's something you have to consider and go after.
Honestly, I really hope that doesn't happen because we've already overstated it. I mean, we've got a problem here. There's too many running backs and too few roster slots for them. I don't know.
Let's all take a stand. Pick two running backs to pair with Jonathan Taylor and Cash.
Elijah and Mitchell. Cash. Jamal Williams.
I do like Elijah Mitchell. I think at 6K, the value is there. Personally, I think I'm going to do my this is the best play on the slate at any position, at any price guy for the week. I think Antonio Gibson is the guy. And I am just crossing my fingers. I know that J.D. McKissic was carted off last week, and I know he's in the concussion protocol. It's supposedly not as bad as it looked with the cart and all, but I don't know if he's going to clear the protocol in time to play. For GPPs, I am crossing my fingers that McKissic is active and Gibson's roster percentage stays suppressed, because even with McKissic in the lineup since week 9, And that's actually when the football team came back from their bye and Gibson had a chance to rest up that injured shin of his. 23.6 touches per game. We saw the pass game usage increase last week, and part of that was with McKissic in the lineup during the first half. And the Raiders, over the last 3 weeks, same exact span, have allowed 38% more fantasy points to opposing running backs than league average. I think there's 2+ touchdowns incoming for Gibson this week. That game has a pretty sneaky high total. It wasn't quite 50, but it was almost there at 49.5 at the books I was looking at. So I love Gibson. He would definitely be my pick. Cash, and if he still is hovering around that 15% mark in tournaments, with or without McKissic, I think I want to play him a good bit.
Yeah, right now I'm seeing Las Vegas the third most fantasy points allowed to running backs. So you're right. When you consider volume that he's been getting with that, I think that's a good take there. If I had to pick three, obviously we'll go with Taylor. For cash games, I mean, I think if Henderson plays, I'm probably playing him at 6,100. So I'll say him. And I like that Gibson call. I really like Madison. I think he's still a really good play. I don't know if he fits the bill that well. I'd definitely be overweight on him in tournaments. But I'll tell you right now, Jamal Williams, I'll happily be underweight on him. And if he's like mega chalk in cash, I know sometimes you just kind of take a player for the block and hope you win elsewhere. I'm happy fading that even in cash games because I just don't see it. His early actually, no, we don't have an early prop. I'm looking at something else. So I'll be curious where that comes in at, but not a huge Jamal Williams fan. I think it's potential bad chalk.
All right. You guys sold me.
Good. Love to hear it. Okay, let's get some GPP plays. Devin, anybody off the radar that we can consider? I mean, I don't know that we have to go too far because there's so many in that middle tier that we could just kind of mix and match them. But is there maybe a sub 5% rostered guy maybe that we could look at?
Yeah, I don't know that you need to go crazy this week. The only guy I would consider just because of his pass catching upside, which nobody's going to have, and this is sort of turning into my special as far as garbage players, but Cordero Patterson at 7K. He's not going to be able to run the ball. His prop is like 37 yards, but he caught six passes in their last meeting against Tampa Bay. I think he has 6 to 8 reception upside this week.
Ryan, what about you? Any lower owned play?
I mean, admittedly, I haven't looked at a ton of the ownership stuff or rostership stuff, but looking at pricing now and guys we talked about, for 100 more than what could be a popular Alexander Madison, you get another high usage guy, albeit in a worse matchup in Najee Harris. The offense stinks. I know it. I watch the team every week. They stink. But what if he catches 5-6 balls in catch-up mode, but also has a touchdown or two in there? That's something. If I can get a guy with 20 or 25 touches who will probably be overlooked, that might be a way to go.
Are you worried about him? Just like in general, as like a fan?
In terms of him getting hurt or not being a good player or all the above?
Not being a good – being Trent Richardson 2.0.
No, I think their offensive line just really, really stinks. And their quarterback stinks. And we know that running quarterbacks can help running backs with opening lanes. And we certainly know that quarterback can't run. So Phil, not yet, unless they beat the hell out of him this year to the point that he can't come back from it. Anyways.
Okay, Phil, I'm going to throw a name out there. Nobody's going to play him, but the Jets are awful. I mean, they've given up huge rushing days to the freaking Buffalo Bills. Can we even consider Miles Sanders here? I know last week it was pretty much like a true, you know, timeshare with what Boston Scott and he's still, I think Kenny Gainwell still hanging around as well. But 2 weeks ago he had, you know, 16 carries, looked like maybe he was going to get more of a workload. I mean, obviously you're not playing him in cash, but would you sprinkle him in mass multi-entry tournaments at probably sub 2% rostership?
I have a feeling that he's not going to project well enough despite the matchup. And I think that has to do more with the fact that he's hurt. He says he's going to play. But I think that might be a good enough excuse for Nick Sirianni to continue the timeshare with Boston Scott, who they clearly like. He was on his way last week before he got that ankle injury. He had just busted a big run. So it's a shame. I like the player, but I don't think his pass catching upside is what we all thought it was maybe a year ago. And he would have to get it done on the ground, and he's not 100%. So I'm not really about it.
If he's out, okay. Boston Scott probably becomes a top play this week.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be out. I it seems like he's trending active, but
yeah,
I'm seeing a timeshare materializing there.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, you're right. I mean, if he was healthy and what, still 50% of the snaps last week, so he did lead the way. So I don't know. I just, Jets are just so bad defensively. It's always tempting to go there. All right. Keeping it moving here this week 13. Again, thanks for checking us out. It's the DFS Power Grid by the Football Guys and, of course, rotogrinders.com. Check out both of our sites for all sorts of content for you as you prepare for this week. Okay, wide receivers. Going to start with Devin here. And, you know, because I know Phil's going to tell us to play Cooper Kupp because he loves to, you know, just kind of take major stands and stuff. So where else are we looking here? Because it's kind of an ugly position, but, you know, I think there's value. I think there's high-end guys. I think there's middle tier. I think there's, like, a lot of ways we can play it this week.
Yeah, a lot of No, I'm not even going to go there. Let's start with Chris Godwin at 6,600. I think he's the safest cash game play. What does this guy have to do to have his price above 7K? It feels like I've played Chris Godwin every single week this year.
Maybe catch more than four passes.
He had a bad week last week, but you know, six or more catches in every game.
That's true.
Every game ever.
Andy has a legit vaccine card too, which is very, very good.
Yeah, that helps when it's a requirement to play at least either be honest or don't. But starting there, I'm looking at a guy who Bill is going to laugh at me, but Elijah Moore at 5,500 is intriguing. I don't know that he's a cash game play, but I really like him as a GPP play this week. The Jets stink. We know that. But you look at this guy, and he's sort of been the only bright spot that they've had. Three of his last five games, he's topped 67 yards or more at 5,500. I think he's intriguing. But like I said, GPP only there. Going down a little bit. It's hard. I wish I liked more of this wide receiver group, but Michael Pittman at 5,700 is probably the other player that I really like in cash games this week. So starting with those two, I'll jump back in with anybody. If you guys want to elaborate on anything, go ahead. But GPP, Elijah Moore, and then Pittman and Godwin in cash.
Okay, Hester, you're up.
Yeah, I like Elijah Moore and Pittman as well. You know, those guys were on my list too. Couple other ones I thought of, and I mentioned this this Vegas Washington game. Hunter Renfrow, just, you know, he continues to be the archetype of player that I don't love to play because he's not going to make big plays, but he just keeps putting up the numbers, man. I mean, it's just at a certain point, you know, I'll play him, you know, way too much in 1 week and he'll put up, you know, 6 for 59 and disappoint. But I don't know that this week will be that week against the Washington defense. So Hunter Renfrow is somebody I'm looking at in cash games, especially ones that have Jonathan Taylor in the lineup. And then also Deontay Johnson is another player that's interesting. The Steelers got absolutely pummeled last week. As we know, he still had 9 for 90 something. I'm sure it was garbage time, but who's to say that that's not in play in any given week, the Steelers play going down the stretch with their slate of opponents. Baltimore has also, you know, good as they are reputationally, they've also been a little leaky against wide receivers, especially on deep plays. And then another, you know, mid-priced, high volume guy is Jalen Waddle, who is 6,400 on DraftKings and just continues to see incredible volume. Maybe some touchdown regression is in play, but, like, you know, he could still have eight catches for over 100 yards without a touchdown, and you're going to be pretty happy with that. So those are a couple other guys that I've been looking at. And I'm curious, you know, obviously I think we all would lean Jonathan Taylor over Cooper Kupp in this week. But, you know, curious to see, Phil, being the tournament guy, what you are going to do. I know, Dan, you alluded to taking stands, but
you take Mike Glennon and you take them both.
With that too. And where are you at, Phil, sure, you know, versus the field with Cooper Kupp in a tournament situation? Because to me, this week just, you know, feels like a do whatever you want / get right game for the Rams. And I think what they want is to get back to the team they were for the first month of the season, which is very Cooper Kupp heavy.
Phil?
So
I'm co-hosting with Dan. You didn't know?
Thank you. So, one more name that I'll throw out there for cash games that's in that same range for me anyway as kind of Waddle, Renfro, Pittman is Brandon Ayuk with Deebo Samuel out of the picture this week. His snap rate, target rate, routes run rate, it's back. You know, it's not the first quarter of the year where he was disappointing and in the doghouse. Brandon Ayuk looks like Brandon Ayuk, and at 5,600 and without Samuel, I think you could consider him too. In tournaments, DraftKings always seems to like overprice Justin Jefferson a little bit. And as a result, his roster percentage has kind of stayed middling. But I think that with a good portion of the field on Alexander Mattison, I think Justin Jefferson gives you some leverage. It starts and ends with the fact that he's Justin Jefferson. He's awesome. And he plays in a dome this week. But usually when a big fixture in the offense like Dalvin Cook goes out, it's the most talented player other than the injured player in the offense that sees the biggest bump. And I could see that with Jefferson, as well as the fact that they're playing against the Lions. When they played earlier this season, Jefferson went for 8 targets, 7 catches, 124 yards. I'm expecting a similar receiving line, and I think he's going to get in the end zone this week. I'm also looking at the LA wide receivers, but believe it or not, it's not Cooper Kupp. We need to put some respect on Van Jefferson's name.
You said Odell Beckham, I was going to kick you off the show.
No, not Odell Beckham. Although, you know, the initial list that I'm looking at, you got Beckham coming in higher rostered than Jefferson. Obviously, Kupp is as well, and deservedly so. Then you got Daryl Henderson also, and he's dealing with an injury. So I feel like Jefferson is kind of an afterthought. You know, he'll probably be like 5-7% in tournaments. And in 2 games without Robert Woods, he has 16 targets and 50 more air yards to lead the team than Cooper Kupp. So the numbers behind the numbers are good. 95% snap rate in both games, running a route on nearly every Matthew Stafford dropback. So I feel like the crowd hasn't yet come around on the post Robert Woods Rams offense, and Van Jefferson is a big part of it. He's still cheap and he's going to be somewhat contrarian.
Dan, I have a question for you. What the hell are we doing with the Jaguars wide receivers?
I don't know.
Is it Laquan Treadwell week?
It's probably like Tavon Austin week, and we'll all be wrong. I mean,
it seems like you want to play one of these guys in cash.
I mean, I'd always play Marvin Jones over the other ones, but the Jaguars just can't do anything on offense. And I think it's probably a situation where I'd rather not go there. But I mean, they're so bad. Like,
would you rather go to Juwan Jennings with Deebo Samuel out? Because he's going to be popular at 3,200.
I would play those guys over a Jaguar for sure. Like, 100%.
So we're going Juwan Jennings then.
Josh, I mean, Reynolds is Lord the other name us. that's kind of like popping a little Josh bit on Reynolds. The lower end. Yeah.
I'm giving away the next segment, but the answer is James O'Shaughnessy. Shout out to John Lee.
No.
Oh, yeah. Man.
It's Foster Moreau at tight end, but we'll get there in a second.
Well, we'll get there. Let me get some GPP talk here.
I think we're done.
Is Seattle just complete dust at this point?
Yeah.
They are.
Until proven otherwise.
I mean, Russell Wilson is basically Baker Mayfield at this point.
Wow.
Yikes.
Wow.
Statistically, they're like the same player.
And we know how you feel about Baker Mayfield.
At least Wilson has better receivers. I'll give him that. I think Tyler Lockett is still somewhat interesting to me, but outside of that, yeah, I'm not looking at
it. So DK's like just trash. He's done. He's not any good. Is that the consensus here? This guy who was GPP winning upside, time and time again last season, he's done. Is that what you're telling me, Phil?
He's like the wide receiver 75 over the last 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, what do you want?
That's what I'm asking. So where he's done. So you're telling me he's done.
I don't think he's done, but I think for this year, you might wait until he does the dead cat bounce until you put him back in a lineup.
But see, that's the whole thing is you wait for the dead cat bounce. And then the following week he does terrible because you're chasing it. He's had 22, 26, 22, 17 in three or four games so far this season. Three consecutive games where he's had under 8 fantasy points. I mean, if there's a dead cat bounce spot, this might be it here against San Francisco.
Is he priced down enough for that's the only issue.
That's true. He's not that cheap. And 67 on DraftKings, 73 over on FanDuel. But nobody's going to play him at that number, right? Isn't that the point? Isn't that what we're trying to look at in when we're trying to win $1 million in the Millimaker and you want to gain leverage on the field?
I'm still trying to set a lineup that scores a lot of points, though. there's a balance.
So you're telling me he's washed then? He's done.
I'm telling you that I am not playing him in this week 13 of the 2021 season.
Okay.
I don't stand taken.
I think if you play, how many lineups, Dan, would you say you have to play DK Metcalf?
I'd 10? Easily play him if I was
put him in
I'd
one?
Say 20 lineups. I mean, you could stack that game up a little bit. You know, there's plenty of plays on that San Francisco side, whether it's Eli Mitchell, whether it's Ayuk, like there's definitely more condensed production when you take Deebo Samuel out, because Deebo Samuel, I mean, I know he's not playing this week, but the fact that the dude was literally a running back and a wide receiver, like playing both positions, not even the hybrid situation we often see with guys like McCaffrey, the dude was in the backfield like a ton. So I think you take him out and there's some good value plays there. So I'm throwing him out there. 20 lineups, I would certainly have him.
Who else do you
Who else do I have in the wide receiver spot? I'm just going to play DK in all my lineups. No,
there you go.
I mean, Godwin for me, from a cash standpoint, I think he's an absolute must play. So let's make that very clear.
Do you go to IU?
I mean, do we mention Keenan Allen? I mean, he might be the most popular guy against Cincinnati. And Jamar Chase might be the potential run back, but the problem is you don't know who it's going to be on a given week. T. Higgins last week was the guy who blew up, but, you know, we saw it so many times earlier. Chase, he's kind of the deep ball guy, I think. So I don't hate him if you like that game to shoot out. All right. I guess we'll see what happens. I guess
I think Keenan Allen is a good play. I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. Certainly stack that game is incredibly stackable with Herbert. You could take Burrow. You could take any of the wide receivers on Cincinnati. It's probably the most stackable game of this slate. So I don't.
How do you rank those
receivers? I mean, you know where my heart is. It's always T. Higgins.
Did you play him last week? Did he finally pay off?
I always play T. Higgins. Who is the guy that you always play? You said you're going to play him every week.
DK Metcalf?
No, I don't remember. Kidding. Oh, Stephon Diggs. He's my Stephon Diggs.
Yes, he's your Stephon Diggs. Okay.
His price never goes above 5,500.
Yeah.
I always play T. Higgins.
Steph Diggs light.
There you go.
All right, let's move on to the tight end position where everybody was already giving their plays way too early. So I do think that Devin had it right, though. I think Foster Moreau on DraftKings in particular, under 3K, is going to be the pretty, pretty popular play because there's not a lot popping on the high end. We don't have Kelsey in this one. Obviously, Waller's not going to play. So these situations, we usually like going cheap, and Moreau looks like that guy.
Yeah, I think for cash, he's the guy. He gets you savings at 2,700. I don't see anything wrong with it. Bill?
Yeah, Foster Moreau is fine for cash games. I would certainly be plugging him in, but Where do you guys have him pegged in terms of roster percentage for tournaments?
I'm at early, 23 right now.
Yeah, we're at 13, but I think Devin's more on the right track there.
Yeah, I was seeing 20% in my mind anyway, and that's why I mentioned James O'Shaughnessy, who's probably going to be closer to, I don't know, 8 if he picks up steam, but probably closer to 5 to 6 in reality. And I think in terms of median projections, these guys are like the same point per dollar. Dan Arnold is on IR. The one thing that Jacksonville has been able to do on offense is get the ball to their tight end. If O'Shaughnessy is the one running all those routes, which he was after Arnold left the game last week, it definitely would not shock me. Or let's put it this way. I don't think that it's 4 times as likely that Foster Moreau outscores James O'Shaughnessy, and that's what the roster numbers are implying there. So I think in tournaments, if you want a very simple one-for-one price pivot, you could look at James O'Shaughnessy.
Ryan, what about Gronk here? I know that, like, old man Gronk we don't like, but the last 2 weeks, he's looked pretty good. 10 and 8 targets. Pretty expensive on FanDuel, but 5.3 on DraftKings is pretty reasonable, right?
Yeah, and Phil made a good case for, you know, there's a few different types of leverage. You can go with different guys on different teams, like we talked about, you know, Wentz and Pittman versus Taylor. You can do a price leverage like Phil just talked about, where you go from the chalk to another guy that's not chalk at the same price. So that's a good one. But another one is just lineup construction, right? So not many people are going to put a $5,300 tight end in there because you want to do other things at other positions. But, you know, how rare is it that we could say Rob Gronkowski is kind of due to score a touchdown from his catches and yards? He had 7 catches and 123 yards last week and didn't score. So there have been times where Gronk has outproduced that in terms of fantasy production on, you know, 2 catches. So it's interesting. And Devin mentioned Godwin as kind of the first receiver he was going to. So it doesn't seem like a lot of people are going to gravitate towards Gronk. So I like that call, Dan. Another one going even further up in terms of price, and you mentioned we don't have Waller, we don't have Kelsey. So really the next go-to tight end is Mark Andrews. And he's 6,000 against the Steelers, who Devin mentioned earlier are falling apart. They are falling apart on the ground, but they also did not look good in the air last week. And Mark Andrews had 10 targets and 106 air yards last week. So he's very clearly Lamar Jackson's go-to guy, and the stats bear that out. The traditional and the sort of analytical stats both bear that out. So I think Gronkowski and Andrews are both guys that have, you know, huge GPP upside in terms of multiple touchdowns, a handful of catches, if not both.
Yeah, Gronk sitting at plus 122 to score a touchdown. That's actually pretty good for a pass catcher, and his receiving yards at 53 here on a Thursday. Andrews sitting at 56, but again, his touchdown, anytime touchdown prop at plus 168. So Vegas certainly thinks that Gronk a little more likely to score, sure, and a little bit cheaper. So if you, I don't base everything on these props. They're pretty inefficient, but I think Gronk's a sneaky play. Okay, tournament wise, give me something off the radar here, Mr. Knotts.
George Kittle. He's sort of my DK Metcalf. He's like, is he washed? But you know, he's only topped 60 yards twice this year. So not the guy that we are accustomed to seeing, but 3 times he's topped 60 yards. But he, with no Debo Samuel, who are they going to go to? And that's the question that you really should answer as you're building your lineups. They're going to have to go to somebody. Seattle's defense is not good. So whether it's Kittle, whether it's Juwan, whatever his last name is, Jennings, I already forgot it, or it's Eli Mitchell, or 2 of those players. But you take the amount of balls that go around. I guess Brandon Ayuk is in there too, but there's a lot of targets, a lot of carries that are going to be opened up with Debo Samuel being out this week.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I mean, just playing a ton of snaps, obviously, and pretty decent air yards. And not the last 2 weeks, but prior to that. And I think you nailed it when you take When you take Debo out, I think it's definitely, why not put somebody in there that's a little more proven or give more looks to a guy who's more proven? Phil, I don't know if I need to ask anymore. You already gave us James O'Shaughnessy. Like, that's all we need, right? That's it.
Well, I was gonna say that the highest ceilings at the position, as far as I could see, Kittle, for sure. I don't mind Dallas Goedert going up against the Jets, since the Jets stink. I think he was a pretty sharp play last week. I saw that a lot of sharp tournament players were on him, and it didn't pan out. And I think this week's situation is probably a little bit better than it was. And, you know, you're a sucker, Dan, for Stephon Diggs. Dan, Devin is one for T. Higgins. Kyle
Please.
Pitts.
No.
I can't get out of my own way on Kyle Pitts. That Atlanta passing game is so, so dreadful. And Pitts being the center of attention for the opposing defense has not been working out too well in recent weeks, but it is Tampa Bay. The way to attack them is certainly through the air. Atlanta is going to be trailing, and Matt Ryan is going to be throwing, and Kyle Pitts does have an established ceiling. We haven't seen it in a while. Again,
does he?
I was about to say, I am so proud of all four of us that we won a show without saying Kyle Pitts' name. And then you had to do that to me.
But, hey, who's the number one corner on Tampa that's going to shadow Kyle Pitts? You know,
doesn't matter. They double team him. Yeah. He can't get open.
Eventually, he'll figure out how to adjust.
Yeah, in 2024.
A guy that starts in the middle of the field.
Yeah, 6.577 his targets the last 4 weeks. You're right. He just can't get open. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. Teams are saying, okay, Tajay Sharpe and Mr.
Olamide is a kid.
Yeah, like those receivers are so bad. Like, they're just like, you nailed it. Like, okay, we'll play one on one in those guys. We'll protect the middle of the field and make sure that Kyle Pitts doesn't beat.
I mean, if his price was a lot cheaper, I'd be interested. Yeah. But to be more than TJ Hockenson and Rob Gronkowski, like, it's a joke.
Yeah.
On
FanDuel, play Zach Ertz. That's all I'll say.
If we're paying up to DK Metcalf, I mean, why not Kyle Pitts?
Because Metcalf has shown more times one catch for Metcalf, and he can at least get close. Kyle Pitts stinks.
Oh, Kyle Pitts stinks.
I mean, it's the rookie tight end syndrome, right? No rookie. He'll probably be great next year. Just nobody's good as a rookie as a tight end.
So Pat Freiermuth.
Look at his numbers without Calvin Ridley. They're terrible. Like, as the primary guy, he's just not ready.
Yeah, it's not a great split there.
All right. Quick show today. I love it. Let's keep going to this defense, and then we will get on out of here and save you guys some time here this week. And, okay, Devin, team defense, what do we got? We paying up for the Rams or no?
No. Okay. I mean, I'd love to, but, you know, we didn't talk about very many low-end plays this week. So I'm going fairly down looking at this list for the first time this week. We're going to go No, and we don't really care all that much about defense, but
we don't. It's a double whammy.
Yeah. The lowest that I'm comfortable with, I'm going to go with the New York Football Giants going up against Miami.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's reasonable.
It sounds like Ryan gives his stamp of approval.
Yeah, that's the lowest I would go in terms of a stamp of approval. Also, like the Cardinals coming off a bye at Chicago, regardless of if it's Justin Fields or Andy Dalton. Probably like it more if it's Justin Fields, to be honest. More playmaking ability there, but more turnover ability too. So I like the Cardinals there.
Phil, you got a hot take on defense here?
I don't know that it's a hot take, but regardless of which Giants quarterback the Dolphins face, they're going to be facing a quarterback with a neck issue, right? Either Daniel Jones or Mike Glennon. but 3,300 against Glennon, that would be awesome. 3,300 against Jones, that would be awesome. Of course, the Eagles, if you could get there against Zach Wilson, who is terrible, and the one reason why I can't endorse the Elijah Moore call from Elijah Mitchell. No, Elijah Moore. I'm going to do that forever. Why I can't endorse that from earlier. And GPPs, we said it. Something is wrong with Russell Wilson. I guess probably his finger, but the 49ers don't look like a bad defense for GPPs against that sloppy Seattle offense that can't seem to get anything done.
Can I make the early call? Early call. Russell Wilson, Pittsburgh Steeler next year.
That would be fun.
Hey, better than Ben Roethlisberger, but Devin just called him Baker Mayfield, which kind of sours my taste. One thing real quick on the on that Dolphins call, which I really like. 16 sacks and 12 takeaways in their last four games. So it's been against poor opponents, but the Giants fit that bill as well. So that's a hot defense right now.
They got healthy, and they're ramping up for sure.
Since we're making calls, Russell Wilson, Green Bay Packer next year.
Aaron Rodgers, Pittsburgh Steeler.
Phil, you got to give us a call. Come on. Wrap up the show with a call.
On the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback.
Where is Russ cooking?
Where's Russ cooking?
His restaurant closed in Seattle because of high rent, so he's got to pick a new city to cook in.
He wants to go to Vegas, which is strangely on like every good quarterback's list of places to go. I found it so bizarre that Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson both had Vegas on their list. I mean, I guess Vegas is a cool place to live, and it's close to the West Coast for those Hollywood quarterbacks, but
no state income tax.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if one of them was playing in Vegas.
All right. Early speculation.
As long as Baker's not in Cleveland, like, I'm good.
Just what all the fans
He's going to be, but it
just
hurts.
What all the fans want from their Week 13 DFS show is 2022 quarterback predictions.
I mean,
we've gone on way worse tangents on this show than that. Okay, like way.
We talked
worse.
About Mike Glennon for like 4 minutes
and his neck multiple times. Okay,
you did.
Jeez. All right, boys and girls, we appreciate you joining us here today on the Power Grid. Please leave us a nice little review. At least give us a thumbs up if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you want to call out Tip and Pick, feel free to do it. And oh, by the way, I did win the four-man last week, so kudos to me for winning their money. So I'll try and do it again this week. But thanks again for being a part of this community that we have at RotoGrinders and Power Grid. Good luck this week 13. Win a lot of money. Go show some screenshot life out afterwards, and hopefully you have yourself a great weekend. And we'll talk to you next week right here on the Power Grid. For Devin, for Phil, and thanks for Ryan for filling in for John. I'm Dan. We'll see you next week.